There was a woman who went to the doctor for her annual checkup. And she got there, and the doctor said, let's start with the basics. First of all, as we go on over the scale, how much do you weigh? And she answers, 145. He says, okay, let's get you on the scale. We'll get the exact number. She steps on the scale, and the doctor says, it says 170. Writes it down on the chart. He says, how tall on you are you? I'd like to measure you. And she says, I'm 5'10". They go to the wall where the measurement measures her, and he says, you're 5'5". Let's get your blood pressure. Takes her blood pressure, and he says, it's pretty high. She says, well, of course it's high. I came in here, and I was tall and thin, and now I'm short and fat. Her self-perception may not have been as accurate as she thought it was. She had herself pictured in a whole entirely different way than most of us who saw her did. Self-perception, seriously, self-perception is very important because I think it determines, it is the lens that we look through, and it determines how much of life that we can grab, how much of life we're going to engage in and with. In the time since I've been a minister, I have talked with a lot of people, and in the counseling / talking, I've asked a number of people to tell me something that they're proud of, something good about themselves. You know, what do you think is one of your best qualities? And I can't tell you how many people have been stumped. They couldn't think of anything that they liked about themselves. And I find that very sad, because, you know, I became a minister because so many of us are walking around feeling like we're not enough. I became a minister to help people see the magnificence of who and what they are. But for so many people to have that self-perception of, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm no good, I'm not enough, is not good. And we can change it. We can do something different. A couple of weeks ago, I said that I had come up with what I think is a theme for us this year. And that theme is that this ministry is realizing expanding possibilities. And when I asked who's with me, everybody, yeah. Expanding possibilities for this ministry and for ourselves individually, which means that we dance into our dreaming. It means that we want to be more than maybe we've self-perceived that we were. We want to be more. And the good news is, I think that it isn't necessarily luck or well, I wasn't born optimistic. You know, it is something that can be developed. This habit, if you will, of seeing things as possibility, I think is one that we can learn. The book that we mentioned 2 weeks ago, the book called The Art of Possibility, kind of guides us through that process. And so we'll continue today in that process. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first part of it, and it mentioned that there were basically two worlds, and we have a choice in which one we want to live in. I think often we kind of flip back and forth. One is the world of measurement. And if you remember, we talked about measurement. Our lady that we talked about in the beginning was being measured by the scale and the height and the blood pressure. Certainly those kind of measurements. But other measurements too, you know, need more money, not enough, too tall, too short, too old, too young, too... There's a lot of measurement. We compare ourselves to others so much. And in that world of comparison, often there are people that are winners and losers. It can be very self-defeating. Even if you are a winner now, you may be worried about becoming a loser later. You know, it's a very precarious position when you do get what you think you want. The world of measurement is stressful. Can be. The other is the universe of possibility that we mentioned. And that dance into your dreaming, that part I think is wonderful. And when we can begin to reclaim those dreams, maybe we put them aside. Maybe, you know, I had a whole deal with being old and I just, well, you know, I'm too old for that. And that's nonsense. So if we can put that stuff aside and do what you can and dream, what is possible? I think it's important that we live in the universe of possibility. How to do that? 2 weeks ago, we also talked about an analogy or metaphor, I guess, that I learned in a class called Mastering Life's Energy about the game of life. The rectangle, top part of it is our conscious life. The bottom part is all of our goals and aspirations and dreams. And between those is the border. And our ego doesn't like for us to approach that border because our ego likes for things to be status quo. Our ego wants us to stay safe. It doesn't want us to be taking risks and jumping out there. And so when you get close to the border, when you get close to bringing one of these aspirations into reality, then the ego starts chattering like crazy, monkey mind. Oh, you can't do that. You know, why are you, you know, don't even think about that. That's just silly. The louder that voice gets, the more you know that maybe you're ready to burst into bringing that realization into expression. So the first part of it in review then, the first part of it was to recognize that there is the possibility and that when we can recognize that chatter, can go, okay, I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to go further. Today I wanted to talk about self-perception and shifting self-perception. If we can shift our self-perception into that universe of possibility, it just opens doors that are wonderful. I also shared with you how powerful it was to do that healing sound service. That was something I had never imagined that I would ever do. And to, you know, ignore the chatter and go ahead and do it was very empowering. It was, I did it, and freeing of those limitations that I had put on myself. You know, I tell myself, well, you know, you've seen me turn the microphone off. I'm not a musical person. You know, so I don't sing in public, and so all of this self-perception that I have led me to think that probably that doing these bowls may not be something I'd be good at, but was pleased that I was able to shatter some of that and do it. So it's empowering and is freeing to step into possibility and do something, whether it's successful or not. Just doing it just gives you all kinds of confidence. It's amazing. There was a commercial about, I don't know, a few years ago, you might remember it. There was a man who like an older guy, he kind of got the impression he was sitting on his front porch, got the impression it was a southern kind of locale. He was drinking iced tea. And he talked very calmly and, you know, quietly about how he had used the same brand of tea for all those years, you know, and thought that everything was fine. And he had tried Louisiana, I think, tea, and he really liked it. You know, he just was, in the commercial, he was really surprised. It's just, this is really good. And then he pauses and he kind of leans back and he says, it just makes me wonder what else I've been missing all these years. Which I think is a great analogy, because if we don't ever imagine, if we don't ever allow ourselves to think about the possibilities, to try something new, you know, it'd be like the guy with the tea. You know, what else am I missing? You know. So this is a process, and we can begin to learn it. So today, to begin to shift into self-perception, to live in this universe of possibility, we want to talk about two topics. One of them is, I'm just going to call it getting an A, and the second is being a contribution. The first one, getting an A. How many teachers are here? Teachers or ex-teachers? Oh, quite a few. Okay. One of the co-authors of the book is a teacher, and he talked about how he doesn't like grades, you know, because it really isn't an accurate reflection of what's happening in the student or for the student. But so many times, it's required that you give high grades and low grades if it's on a bell curve. And there's, you know, it's just not a very good measurement of what children are really achieving potential. So he talks in this about a class that he had and how he tried to think of different ways that he could get around the grade thing. He had to do grades, you know, because it was university, but how he could get around it so that he could really focus on learning and what the important parts of why they were there. He came up with this notion of giving everyone an A. He decided it wasn't enough just to, it wouldn't work probably just to give everyone away and give everyone an A, because I know if I was going to school and somebody said, you got an A, I don't know that I'd go back. I mean, just very honestly. So there needed to be some other piece of it. And what he decided that he would do was, you know how when we did our letters to God, we wrote those from the perspective of the end of next year, of 2016, and we looked back to see what we had done, what we had realized. Well, the same way with the letters. He asked his students to write a letter to him explaining at the end of the semester why they deserved this extraordinary grade of an A. Everybody started out with an A, and then if they could write this letter, then it would justify the A. So this was very different for many of them, but they took the assignment, went back. He had some samples in the book, so we won't go through all those, but one really struck me because it was such a shift in self-perception. This student was, I think, among a group who had come from, I think, Asia, I believe. And so this student, all of them were very good students, very intelligent. They had all come over. And he was number 68 out of 70. This student thought of himself as number 68. Compared to number one, the world of measurement, he didn't see himself in such a good light. And in their culture, you know, the teachers and so forth had a lot of authority. So when he allowed himself, in his letter he explains this, when he allowed himself to consider himself an A student, it kind of, I'm an A student. I'm not number 68 anymore. I'm an A student. And then he described the shifts and the changes and the things that he was going to do, but did to get the A, to be that A student. It was really a mental shift. What if we all knew that we were going to get an A for life? You know, just being alive. And it was about thinking about, from this perspective, how am I going to get there? How am I going to live the best life that I can live? It's going to be having the self-perception that I can get an A, having the self-perception I have this in me, and being willing to imagine, you know, to step into possibility, the universe of possibility. When you know that I went to Italy last summer, awesome. And I got to see Michelangelo's David, the statue of David. I also got to see some unfinished statues that Michelangelo had done. I think he had been commissioned to do, I think they were supposed to be the apostles, if memory serves me. Michelangelo is reported to have said that he didn't really carve David, but David emerged out of the stone, the marble. It was as if he was just uncovering what was already there. The beauty of that. It is a magnificent statue. I mean, I've seen pictures, but to see it in person was just amazing. To see these other statues that weren't finished, because when he started them and then they decommissioned him, I guess, to do them. So he left them and went on to the next project, whatever it was that they wanted him to do. But it is amazing because I looked at them and it was almost as if they're trying to get out of the marble. You know, they look so alive, I guess. And yet there's still this marble that hasn't been chipped away. Again, that is that we are all A, you know, it's, there is a magnificence in us. There is a power and a potential in each of us that is there, waiting to be uncovered, waiting to be to be chipped away. And so the shift that we want to do is one of looking for our best, looking at what we can do. The second part that I wanted to talk about is being a contribution. The authors talked about the drive to be successful and the fear of failure and how they are linked, inescapably linked. Who hasn't tried to be successful in whatever worlds we live in? In the corporate world is where I'm from, or you know, there are things that we are expected to do if we want to accept that societal stamp of success. Maybe it's having a certain salary, or maybe it's driving a certain kind of car, maybe it's living in a certain neighborhood, or having the number of bedrooms you have, or, you know, what is the success as far as society is concerned? And often in our younger years, that's important to us when we're having families and expanding and we want to do the best that we can. Yeah. But even then, you know, if we accept that as our role of success, well, along with that comes the fear of failure. They are linked. You can't get one without the other. Because if you don't, if say 4 bedrooms is the success, if you've got 2, you're a failure. And then what do you do with that? How do you live with that failure thing? So the idea then in this second part, being a contribution, is to shift your perception to another idea. So rather than having the idea about being successful, it is about, I am a contribution to the world. I am a gift to the world. See how that changes it? When you think for yourself, I think that to yourself. I am a contribution. I am a contribution. No matter what your age, no matter how tall you are, how short you are, no matter what your profession is, your retirement, I am a contribution. And it's true. It's true. So then the question that we have to answer is, if I'm a contribution and I'm a gift to the world, the question to ask ourselves is, how will I contribute today? What a concept. I think it is very freeing. I think that if we can get our minds around these two pieces, it will really take us further into our universe of possibility. If we can acknowledge that we are like David, that we are ready to emerge and express our unique gifts, and that if we decide and live from the premise of I am a contribution, what a difference we can make. And, you know, we'll feel really good about what is happening. So my invitation to you then, as you go about your week, is to tackle those two things. Think of yourself as an expressing David, if you will. I already have an A. You know? It's all in there with me, in me, ready to be expressed. And the second thing to think about is, if each day you would get up and say to yourself, I'm a contribution. How am I going to contribute today? And we'll see how we do. Every week we light this candle as a representation of that divine in us, that power in us, that amazing in us. And so this is a chance to begin to live that every day in every way. As we do each week, let's take some time now to be with that divinity, to connect and commune with the Creator, to be at one. So I would invite you, if you haven't already, to gently close your outer eyes. Take a deep breath in and out. And another. And release. Allow your seat to fully support you. We become still in this way so that we can be more sensitive, more attuned to our true selves, to the Christ within. We shut out the busyness, the daily activities, and we become still in mind and body. We become receptive, open, and willing. Pat talked about realizing who walks with us every day, every minute. And it is that Creator, that Source, that is one with us at all times. At times like this, as we are still, we can feel ourselves relaxing. We can feel ourselves letting go of I should, I ought to, and just be. We allow ourselves to bask in the realization that we are perfect. We are creations of the Most High. We are unique gifts to the world. There is no need for any comparison. And we are aware of that. We allow ourselves to take on that mantle of I am one with Source. I am a gift. I am all that I can be in this moment. And we allow ourselves to see a possibility that all I can be might be a little more. We allow ourselves to shed and release the fear. We allow ourselves to feel protected in that oneness. We allow ourselves to know that it just keeps getting better, even in the failure, even in the learning, even in the tears, because we are gaining in compassion, gaining in strength, gaining in wisdom, and we are never alone. And so we sit for a few moments in silence as we do each week, just being, just realizing our oneness, realizing our innate gifts, our innate qualities of love and joy and peace. And we experience those in the silence. We can feel our hearts expanding with this awareness of being enough. This awareness of being accepted, loved, trusted, of being worthy. We allow that feeling of acceptance and love and trust to fill us, to give us courage and strength, to take a tiny step into possibility, or a bigger step. We are magnificent creations of the Most High. And in these times of connection, these times of silence, we find that nourishment, and it rejuvenates, revives, and expands us. And we are grateful. We are grateful at this awareness. We are grateful that these qualities of love and peace and joy and wisdom are ours to claim and to use as we go through our days and our weeks. We are grateful for the awareness that God only wants good for us. And in this stepping into possibility, in this stepping forward and being a contribution and knowing, celebrating the truth of who and what we are, we find great joy. So in that awareness, in that gratitude, we come together as church community and family as we repeat the words that our way-shower Jesus Christ taught us when he said we should pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.